This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
The outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center of the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and fiancé, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're discussing the bonus content from the Clone Wars. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show! And, well, we don't have anyone to introduce this week. It's been a while since it's been a podcast with just you and I.
No. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, you're going to have to listen to us blabber on. Suckers. Note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast. And right now, Her Universe has a really awesome competition going on to design geek couture that will be modeled at San Diego Comic-Con. And I believe we know several people who may be considering entering this contest, so that's pretty cool.
That is really cool. It's always nice to see these fan contests to contribute material to a place like Her Universe. So if you've got ideas for that, head over to Her Universe, get the details, and check it out and enter.
Yes.
And on that note, it's time to discuss what's new on the blog. It's been three weeks since we last did a regular episode. Mm-hmm. So we got some stuff.
Yes. Our last episode was a non-numbered episode. It was a special episode in memory of Aaron Alston. So if you haven't listened to that episode, go ahead and do so. We talked about our memories at cons, just reading Aaron Alston's books and what they meant to us, and we also have a few posts on the blog, so go ahead and check that out if you're so inclined. It wasn't the happiest podcast to record, but I'm glad we did it. And also, excuse me, Full of Sith had a really good roundtable podcast discussion in memory of Aaron that featured Brian Young, Janine Spinlove, Ron Gardner, and Mike Stackpole. And they told some really great stories about Aaron, and they all knew him really well. Mike obviously knew him for 32 years, so they had a lot of great stories to tell. Getting on with the Star Wars news, Honor Among Thieves came out by James S.A. Corey. This is the Han installment in the Empire and Rebellion pseudo-trilogy. And we had a go, no go, and Bria also had a non-spoiler review that was more in-depth. But I think both of you guys recommended it, so...
Yeah, it was a good book. Definitely worth the recommendation. Hey, James Earl Jones, what do you think?
Totes my goats.
Go check it out.
I still didn't hear that, FYI.
Aww.
So, yeah, and I hope James S.A. Corey does more Star Wars books. Is that why I couldn't hear it?
Yeah, your headphones weren't plugged in.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Good job with that.
I know. World's worst audio engineer sitting right here in this seat.
He better than me. Bria finished out the Hondo Caravan. Yes, she watched all of season 5 in 1 week and then proceeded to watch the bonus content before we did, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that Bria is much more dedicated to the art of marathoning than we are.
Yes, very much so. I think the last time I marathoned something was last year when I had mono. Because that's pretty much all you can do, because you're too tired to actually read. So yeah, she watched a lot of Clone Wars, and there are a lot of posts on the blog, too many to note. However, the one that I will note is one that everyone should go read. It is her reaction to the last arc and what happened to Barriss Offee's character.
That was the arc I think everybody following along the Hondo Caravan was looking forward, dreading her getting to.
Unfortunately, it was at the very end, so you had to wait till the end.
And I think her reaction was pretty much exactly what you and I thought it would be.
Yeah. I'll use my one allotted F-bomb of the show. I think her reaction was, what the fuck? And I think that's what a lot of people thought. And she defended her opinion vehemently as a Barriss fan.
And let the record show, I agree with Bria.
Yeah, I think we both do.
So, yeah, check out the link in the show notes for that.
Yes, and...
we're going to brag right now.
Yes, as a personal note, our staff writer, Emily, she's been going through her PhD program for something involving English and Tennyson. She's going to hate me that I don't exactly know what the name of the degree is. But she defended her dissertation and will be Dr. Emily.
Yeah, she now holds a PhD in English, and that is awesome.
Yeah. I don't know if she officially graduated, but she defended her dissertation, which is basically the last thing you have to do.
Okay, so now it's just a formality until she has her PhD.
I think she
in
can
hand.
Still call. I still think she can make people call her doctor.
Well, I'm calling her doctor,
we are.
So there.
Ah, damn it. We need to change the wedding invitations.
Hopefully they haven't been made yet.
Dr. Emily.
Who's jealous? We're having a doctor.
Yes.
Marry us. That is awesome.
Yes. Bria also reviewed the Star Wars number 6 comic. And finally, Team Wedge has come and gone. What is Team Wedge, you ask? Brian, would you like to take this one? I think you have audio for this as well.
I have audio for this one. Do I? Where do I have audio for this one?
Weren't you just trying to put that clip on?
Oh, right. That clip. I thought we were talking about this later. Oh, this is going... Yeah, this is the least subtle... This is the least subtle transition ever, but oh well.
StarWars.com began their This Is Madness competition, which is basically choosing your favorite Star Wars characters NCAA basketball bracket style. And they had play-in rounds with several characters, 4 in each category, vying for a spot. And Team Wedge! Wedge Antilles was the valiant victor in his play-in round. Unfortunately, that meant he had to play against R2 freaking D2.
What was Wedge doing in the freaking play-in round? That's what I want to know.
I know.
That is a gross miscarriage of justice.
It is. So, Wedge unfortunately was beaten by R2-D2. Wedge, as rogue leader, does understand the importance of a trusty astromech droid. However, Wedge Jansen was still disappointed in these results. And would like you now to put your full weight behind the original rogue leader, Luke Skywalker. We are still going to support Luke Skywalker.
We are. Did Luke get out of the last round?
He hasn't gone up yet.
Okay.
He is going up against Obi-Wan Kenobi in the first round. which I think is unfair because I don't think they would fight against each other.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
They would not.
Yes. So
also, can I say it's also a travesty that Luke Skywalker is a 3-seed? I want to meet the seeding committee and know what
Elder. Sorry. What does that mean?
Okay, so in each bracket there are seeds: the 1-seed, 2-seed, 3-seed, 4-seed, and in mm-hmm. the actual NCAA March Madness tournament, it goes all the way down to a huge number. The higher the seed number, the better you are.
So who's ahead of him?
Obi-Wan,
Yoda. Stupid prequel fans. Sorry, I'm a prequel fan, but still, stupid prequel fans. Don't you know who Luke Skywalker is?
If you didn't notice on the blog today, Thursday, it was Luke Skywalker Day.
It was coincidental. But yeah, if Luke Skywalker had listened to Obi-Wan, you know where we'd be? Nowhere. Because he would have just gone ahead and killed Vader and turned to the freaking dark side.
Yes, let's point out that Luke Skywalker defied Obi-Wan and Palpatine.
And Yoda.
And Yoda.
And he freaking won. So there.
Luke Skywalker threw away the paradigms of years past, of fallen orders, and of Sith, and decided, no, I am doing what's right.
Yes.
Which is why you should vote for Luke Skywalker.
You should vote. A vote for Luke Skywalker
is a vote for underrated badassery.
And freedom.
And blowing up Death Stars.
And hope. A vote for Luke Skywalker is a vote for hope. That's the new slogan.
So if you don't vote for Luke Skywalker,
you're terrible.
You're terrible.
Obi-Wan would want you to vote for Luke Skywalker. He lived in the freaking desert for 20 years, making sure that baby grew up safe. So, ha.
Also, anyone who says Luke Skywalker is a big whiner, Luke Skywalker isn't half the whiner Han Solo is.
No, them's fighting words.
You can tell Luke, huh? Is that who you can tell? That is whinier than anything Luke Skywalker has said put together.
Yeah, I need to write a blog post about why Luke Skywalker should not be a hermit in episode 7.
Agreed.
But why he needs to have children.
Because Luke Skywalker said no to the
Oh, I posted that today. I can talk about that now.
Yes, you can.
Sorry, everyone, but I posted this on the blog after I wrote the show notes, so I didn't add it to the show notes, so
Well, I'm going to add it to the show notes because okay. I still need to write the show post.
Okay. I wrote a post called Why the Sequel Trilogy Needs to Star a Skywalker. Because I've heard some rumblings about people who want to move away from the Skywalkers and Solos and think the sequel trilogy should star other Jedi or whoever. And I think that's silly because it's episode 7, 8, and 9. And if they wanted to do a movie about some random Jedi or some random smuggler or some random pilot, they could do that in a standalone film. However, the episodes should star someone who has Skywalker blood in them.
Because as you point out, if it's not going to be about a Skywalker, then just make it why call it an episode?
What's the point? Yeah.
It's a why is it not just a standalone
Star Wars saga
film?
Is about the Skywalkers. Prequels are about Anakin. Original trilogy is about Luke and Anakin. So it just makes sense that the sequel trilogy would be about either Luke's offspring or Leia's offspring.
I mean, maybe down the line, conceivably, there's another episodic trilogy. Maybe at that point, it's not about the Skywalkers, but only after episodes 7 through 9 finishes off what I'd like to call a Skywalker triptych.
Yeah, exactly.
Because triptychs are cool, okay?
And this will lead into my latest blog post, which I have yet to write, about why Luke Skywalker should have kids.
That's a post that definitely needs to be written.
Yep, because I'm sick of all the people saying that he shouldn't be married and needs to be concentrating on the Jedi Order, because Luke realizes that the attachment rule is stupid. I need someone to ground him.
Because a prohibition on attachment worked so well for the old Jedi Order.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we think about that.
Mm-hmm. You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done. Now, come on, get to it.
It's time for Fixer Slash.
Yes, we haven't been doing much.
No.
In the geeky things. We bought a lot of IKEA furniture and put together IKEA furniture. We watched Clone Wars, which we will talk about later. We, tomorrow we're going to MegaCon.
Woo!
Yeah, so we'll have a post for that.
Well, Saturday, rather.
Saturday! Ah, well, tomorrow starts MegaCon. But, so we'll have some pictures and stuff and probably buy some things at the exhibit hall. Like you do.
Like you do. Can't have enough geeky t-shirts.
I think the last thing I bought at a convention was a Lego Asajj Ventress and a Lego Barriss Offee for Bria.
She rather approved of those.
She did. And I'm brainstorming and outlining again. I haven't actually written anything, but I'll...
But you got an outline.
Yeah. Thank you to Janine Svenlove, who is advising me on matters of the military and flight school. And also, because it came out this week, we're going to go tell everyone to go buy Frozen.
Frozen was good. Frozen was great. Go buy it.
Yep. Do you want to watch a movie?
We're still making that joke about everything, and we will for a long time.
Yes.
Yes, yes. It's Deekster news and rumors from around fandom, and we start with some expanded universe news. Yes, expanded universe news.
What?
In EU news, the Kevin Hearn Luke novel has not been canceled.
If it had been canceled, I would have marched to Lucasfilm and said something. It is set for release on January 13th. And why is that date significant, Brian?
It's near your birthday.
It's what?
It's near your birthday.
It's near my birthday?
I'm in so much trouble.
Today, the day.
Before?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have to pause this podcast so I can kill the host.
I had a 50-50 chance and I blew it. I just got the highway salute. In fairness, I can't remember any of my family's birthdays. I have no idea what my brother's birthday, my sister's birthday, my father's birthday, or my mother's birthday is. That makes me a terrible person.
Anyway, January 13th is the day after my birthday, so happy birthday to me. And they also had a short blurb in the catalog where they found this information. In an attempt to distract the Empire from important Rebel Alliance activity, Luke Skywalker draws the attention of Imperial security, leading him, along with Princess Leia Organa, Han Solo, and Chewbacca, into a deadly trap right in Darth Vader's sights. So yay, Luke book, but I'm kind of bummed that it doesn't mention anything about Wedge Antilles or Rogue Squadron, because I really, 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 really want a book about Luke being a pilot. My kingdom for a Rogue Leader Luke novel that I did not write. That's not fanfic I wrote. Please.
Please. So, yeah, that's going to be the next adult Star Wars novel that comes out, which means if nothing else is announced, that's it for this year. We're done. No more books for this year.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Leland Shi has been tweeting a lot about the Clone Wars and basically posting chronologically certain episodes and arcs. He posted the entire series of what the order should be, and he's also posted like Ventress arc, the Maul arc, a Boba Fett arc. So if you're just interested in certain arcs and those characters, then you can watch those episodes. So that's pretty cool. And with everything being on Netflix now, it's really easy to watch everything in the order it was supposed to be in.
One of these days, we're going to have to watch the Clone Wars in chronological order.
Yeah, especially because I never watched season two. Yeah, so we had some episode 7 news that was actually actual news, confirmed news, released by Disney and on StarWars.com. It's not huge news, but still, it's nice to get. Confirmed, it will take place approximately 30 years post-Return of the Jedi, which kind of goes nicely with the prequels, not so nicely with the ages of the actors, because it would mean Luke was about 53 and Mark Hamill's like in his early 60s right now. So, but
that's what a makeup department's for.
You can hand wave all that. So, and it will feature some familiar faces, which they still haven't confirmed.
But at this point, come on.
And a trio of new leads, which makes me happy, because while I think the sequel trilogy should star a Skywalker, I don't think it should be Luke Skywalker. It should be a new Skywalker or Solo or whatever. And R2-D2 is still the only confirmed character.
I love that R2 is the only confirmed character.
Yep.
Oh, dear. Oh, my. But yay, actual news.
What?
Isn't that wonderful? And in other Star Wars Disney-related news.
Weird news.
Yeah. What's going on with Expanded Universe characters marching in the Star Wars Weekend motorcade?
I don't think we know. As far as we know, that some characters aren't allowed. Some characters are getting special permission. People are saying this is the way it's always been. Other people are saying no, like me, because I saw Mara Jade march in a parade like 2 years ago. So I've seen people dressed as Anakin and other face characters from the 501st Legion and the Rebel Legion. So if you're not familiar with the motorcade, Star Wars Weekends has several events, and one of them, one of the daily events, is the Celebrity Motorcade, which is basically a parade that goes all the way up Hollywood Boulevard to the Sorcerer's Hat, and there's a stage there, and they do a little welcoming show. And they start out with the Disney characters, so they have Jedi Mickey, Princess Minnie Organa, Stormtrooper Donald, and Darth Goofy. And they also have Ewok Chip and Dale, because it's the best thing ever.
Whoever came up with Ewok Chip and Dale, they deserve a raise and a promotion.
They do. So they have these characters start at the parade. And then they have the 501st Legion and the Rebel Legion. And they are doing this on their own dime. They don't get free admission to the parks. It's really, 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 really hot. And they basically have to line up a while beforehand. And they have to do everything according to Disney's wishes, which is understandable because it's Disney's event and parade. So the 501st and Rebel Legion march, and then they have the celebrities. Usually there's three of them every week, and then the two hosts. We only have one host this year so far, but in the past there's been two hosts, and interspersed with those characters are like the official Disney characters. So like whoever is Darth Vader, whoever is Ahsoka, you know, they'll have those characters.
Yeah, they've got their own Ahsoka, their own Asajj Ventress.
They have a lot. They have a lot.
And they're all very good.
Yeah, the Asajj Ventress is amazing. And they try to, like, pair it up so they'll have, like, Ahsoka marching with Ashley Eckstein and, like, the Darth Maul marching with Ray Park. So it's kind of cool. And then those characters are out and about for meet and greets. So apparently I read somewhere that the 501st and Rebel Legion were only letting certain characters march from the parade. Was told from a friend in the 501st Legion that this was Disney's say-so. Which is understandable, if disappointing. But then we heard that it was the 501st Legion deciding who is recognizable, basically. Which we both took issue with, because I don't like fans deciding who is recognizable. If it's the actual company who owns it,
it's annoying, but it's understandable. Annoying, but
okay, you're right. But it just strikes me as the whole true fan thing, or like, you know, original trilogy fans, or, you know, true fans and Clone Wars, does it matter? You know, like all that kind of stuff. And it's still unclear who is actually making this say-so, what actually the guidelines are, and we pretty much don't know. But basically, if it is 501st Legion and Rebel Legion, it's really uncool. If it's Disney, it's also really uncool.
But we'll deal.
Yeah. But it just kind of, it's disappointing because...
It's unfortunate because a policy like this, one unfortunate aspect is that it does unintentionally target female costumers a lot more than male costumers.
Yeah, the expanded universe has really opened up the number of female characters. And
unfortunately, what's on film and TV hasn't followed suit to the degree the expanded universe has.
You know, female cosplayers can be, you know, they can be Jedi, Imperial, officers, stormtroopers, you know, whatever. There's a lot of gender neutral costumes. However, you know, if you want to be a face character or like an act, you know, a character like Princess Leia, it's pretty much Princess Leia or Mon Mothma. Those are your choices from the original trilogy. If you want the prequels, you've got Padme and her handmaidens, maybe Shmi. I've never seen a Shmi. That would be kind of cool. So yeah, and you've got like Sam Wessel and Ahsoka. So yeah. And also some EU fans have been a little paranoid about what's going to happen to the EU.
And the unfortunate thing is this, right or wrong, validated a lot of their conspiracy theories.
That, oh, well, they're going to, you know, take away the EU and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm still always going to have the books on my bookshelf or in my Kindle or whatever. And they're always going to publish the books, I think. Keep them in print because they make money off of them. But, you know, it's kind of like looking more and more like the expanded universe that was is not going to continue in some form. Like, I'd be really surprised if we end up getting our multiverse.
Yeah, and
which kind of,
that's another conversation of annoyance for down the line, because if you don't think Star Wars fans are capable of handling a multiverse, then that's kind of upsetting you think that about Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's another Disney property that does just fine with multiverses.
I mean, I can understand, like, in the parade at Star Wars Weekends, not wanting non-canon characters to march in the parade, but it's just, okay, then what's the next step? And which I don't like thinking about.
You know, I am at the point now that if you're going to Infinities so much of the expanded universe, just say so now and give people a year and a half to come to terms with it.
I was thinking about this today, because when I was thinking how I need to write my whole Luke having kids article, and because I'm going to be really upset if Luke doesn't have kids. And I keep saying to myself, I'm not going to like episode 7 if he doesn't have kids. However, at one point before episode 3 came out, I was adamant that Anakin could not know that Padme was pregnant. He could not know that he had kids. Because there was a passage in the Return of the Jedi novelization in which Obi-Wan continues his discussion with Luke on Dagobah and gives a lot more information. Like, for example, Owen being his brother. And then he said, you know, he continues to say that when Anakin left, he didn't know your mother was pregnant. So I always had the idea that Anakin kind of left and fought in the left to fight in the Clone Wars. He started falling to the dark side, and then it was too late. And he didn't know that there were kids there. And my argument was always that if he knew that there were kids, that there was a possibility of kids, that would not make sense, because he would never stop searching for them ever, ever, ever. Now, obviously, they address that because he knew Padme is pregnant, however she died. And that was another thing. I thought Padme would live and go into hiding on Alderaan. But so I was staunchly adamant about that. Like, I thought I was going to hate episode 3. And I actually came out of episode 3 kind of not happy because of that. However, now I'm perfectly fine with it. So the point being is that while now, if you tell EU fans, yes, this is not canon anymore, people are going to freaking riot and say, you took all my money and blah, blah, blah. In a year and a half, the ones who are going to get over it are going to get over it.
Yeah, so the question is, when would you rather have that riot? Now?
Yeah.
Or in December 2015?
Like, okay, if you tell me Luke's not going to be married to Mara Jade's not going to exist, and Luke's not going to have any kids, I'm going to be annoyed as hell. However, at least I'll know going into the movie, you know? Because if I find out in the movie that Luke is not married and has no kids, I'm going to have the same reaction I had in episode 3, which is, ugh, are you kidding me? This is stupid. And I don't want to have that reaction again. I want to know going into it. Same thing with Owen being Obi-Wan's brother. I knew that going into episode 2, that they had changed that, and I was perfectly fine with it. So, moral of the story is, the earlier you tell people things, the better they'll react. See also Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah, there's a place for secrecy, and then there's going overboard with secrecy and having it backfire on you greatly. Let's not have this be a no-duh, he's con moment.
Yeah. Spoilers!
Spoilers. And in better Star Wars Weekends news, Nancy had this reaction.
What is that? Is that from the Beatles or something?
Something like that. I might have to edit that out because it pegged the meter. It was called fans screaming on the audio board.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that. Mark Hamill is going to be at Star Wars Weekends.
And it's the week. It's a weekend we're there. It's not a weekend we're having a wedding.
Yeah, when I saw that come across my Twitter timeline, I got very excited, and then my stomach fell. I was like, oh no, that's going to be during the wedding, isn't it? Because that would be our luck.
And then we would have had to move it.
But then we clicked on the link, and the weekend of June 8th, Mark Hamill will be at his first Star Wars Weekends at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And after the announcement, I think an informal Luke lovers convention was created.
I know of two people so far. I haven't heard from Paula yet. Yeah.
Give her a couple hours and she'll find it.
Yeah.
But yes, Mark Hamill at Star Wars Weekends, and that is awesome.
Yes.
And on that note, it's time to move on to our newest segment.
Found anything yet? Nothing yet, sir! How about you?
Not a thing, sir!
What about you guys? We ain't found shit!
It's Biggs Bullshite. And we start off with a bit of news or a rumor that I hope isn't shite.
Yes, in a rumor that mostly everyone got behind, Lupita Nyong'o is rumored to be close to signing on for episode 7.
Backflips if it happens. There will be backflips.
That would be really awesome. Now, just thinking, I've seen a lot of posts on Tumblr where she's saying how she saw Whoopi Goldberg in Oprah Winfrey in The Color Purple, and it kind of made her realize that she could be an actress too. And we've heard the same story with Whoopi Goldberg and seeing Nichelle Nichols in Star Trek and being inspired to be an actress. Now imagine if Lupita Nyong'o is in Star Wars and someone has the same reaction to her. Or some little girl decides that they are going to go into science or aviation or something because of her. Like Mae Jemison, who was the first African-American female in space. She was inspired by Uhura on Star Trek. So
if this were to happen,
that would be awesome.
I think this is the one rumor so far that I really, really, really hope is true.
Yeah.
I would really love this because she is such a fantastic and talented actress.
Mm-hmm. And she's not really super well known yet. I mean, she won an Oscar, but I don't think she's still a household name. It's kind of like Ewan McGregor. Like, people knew who he was, and he'd gotten a lot of praise for his acting, but he wasn't, like, Ewan McGregor yet. And same thing with Natalie Portman. So I don't think she's even at that level yet. So it would be really good with the whole casting unknowns or relative unknowns.
And if she's a lead,
mm-hmm.
A plus.
Yeah.
Come on, you know you want to do this, Lucasfilm.
Yeah. And then we've got other rumors of lots of guys. I don't know who they are, but they are in things like Downton Abbey and other shows. Ed Spielers, John Boyega, and then Matthew James Thomas and Ray Fisher, who are theater actors, are supposedly up for a lead role of a Jedi apprentice. And this was in Variety, and they say sources also indicate the reason for the delay has to do whether execs and creatives want someone of a different ethnicity from the previous Caucasian leads. Abrams has said on numerous occasions that he wants to have a diversified cast, which is why actors like David Oyelowo, did I say that right? And Michael B. Jordan tested early on. So this is cool because A, even if they are the direct offspring of, or they're children of Luke and Leia, they could be adopted. Luke could be married to someone who's not white. Or they don't have to be children of Luke and Leia. They can be the other cats, the, you know, Han Solo, Obi-Wan types, which would be fine. And I think that's cool. Why not?
I agree. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get up onto my soapbox for a minute.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Do we have a clip for that?
No, we need to go find a clip for that.
I'm surrounded by assholes.
Yes, I'm getting onto my soapbox for a minute. I am going to smack the next person who uses the Lucasfilm as a business that needs to make money and diversity is going to ruin their ability to make income. Next person who uses that argument with me, I am going to smack them.
Yeah. We've had a lot of comments on the blog lately that are trying to tell us things that we don't already know.
Yes, and they
it's
always...
It's the definition of a mansplaining.
They always frame it like this. Diversity is great, but...
Yeah.
That would hurt Lucasfilm's busy...
No, it wouldn't.
...ability
it
to
would
make
not
money.
Hurt Lucasfilm's
You know why?
Business.
You know why? Because it's Star Wars. It's a freaking license to print money.
You know what they all, people also said was stupid? Ahsoka Tano. Hey, how much money has the Clone Wars made?
Hell... But yes, if you're going to mask, and I'm just going to call you out on this. If you're going to mask your unacknowledged racism or misogyny behind that argument, no, stop. We're done here. I am.
And I mean, I can understand because at one point I remember when people were talking about, I think it was Spider-Man being black, but it wasn't like the most recent. It was a while ago. And I remember thinking, oh, why, you know, that's kind of dumb. Why do they need to do that? Like, for me, it would be like, create a new superhero who's just as awesome. But then as I thought about it more and read more arguments and talked to people, I realized that it really doesn't matter. Like, people can say, oh, they don't want to upset the canon. But does it really matter? Does it really matter
well,
when it comes
and,
down to
and
it?
And you never frame that argument around, won't someone think of the straight white male?
No, like, from like I honestly think the people who get upset about it because it changes the canon, I don't think all of them are racists and, like, you know, whatever. They don't want diversity. But I do think they might not have thought about it a lot and talk to someone who might have a differing opinion.
In that argument, in that Spider-Man thing, I can see where you're coming from. But from what we've been dealing with on the blog with
right.
these comments in regards to diversity in Star Wars,
yeah.
I am side-eyeing you so yeah. hard.
Point being is that you should listen and not try to mansplain everything, and I use the word mansplain because I think all the comments we've gotten are from dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have been.
Yeah. Like, for me, like, I go back to something Timothy Zahn has said at cons several times when pretty much whenever anyone asks him who he would cast as a character, he says he doesn't know because to him, he doesn't think of what a character looks like other than basic things like Mara, red hair, dancer's figure. That's it. And she's usually portrayed as having pale skin, but really the only thing he describes her as is red hair, dancer's figure. And the rest is all her personality. You know, basically Thrawn, the only thing you need to have for Thrawn is blue skin, black hair. And the rest is all the attitude. So like, who's to say, you know, if a person doesn't look the way they are in a comic, they can still be that character, you know? They can still embody that character. That should be the most important part, is not what the character looks like.
Yeah, and you know, I'm just tired of watching people in the comments twisting themselves into knots,
mm-hmm.
trying to argue away what is a very simple thing we're asking for.
Well, and it's like, the highest grossing movie of last year starred a female. And then there's Frozen, which has two female leads.
And is blowing away every box
yeah.
office record.
I mean, like when The Hunger Games first came out, people were like, oh, is it going to make a lot of money because it's a female lead? You know, forgetting the fact that the books had sold a bajillion copies. This movie came out, it made $1 billion, and people are like, okay, this, you know, a property led by a female, a young female, can do well. But yet, they still are trying to say that can't happen.
Yeah.
Why could that not happen, especially in Star Wars?
I have no idea.
Even people who hated the prequels are still going to go see Episode 7.
And, you know, what really gets me on this whole stupid financial argument is, so what's the point you're trying to make here? If they go with more diverse cast, then white males won't go see it?
Yeah.
Really?
That, it doesn't.
Come on.
It's the same as the people who complain about there not being anything to do at Magic Kingdom for boys, and why don't they have meet and greets with the other Frozen characters for their little boys? And I'm like, I hate you.
So I'm just going to throw this out there. If you don't go see a new Star Wars film because the lead isn't a white male, we're better off without you.
Yeah. I mean, how many movies have I seen in my life that do not star a white female? Pretty much all. Most of them.
How many movies have I seen in my life that don't star a half Asian male? All of them.
Yeah. Well, no. What is... No. Keanu Reeves is... Is he Asian? Or Hawaiian? I'm probably offending people by not knowing the answer to that question. I'm sorry. Sorry, Keanu Reeves.
Well, I've only seen about half of The Matrix, so I don't know if that counts for me.
You've never seen Speed?
Nope.
What?
Haven't seen Speed.
What? Okay, we have to watch Speed. I'm sorry.
That's the one where the bus can't go slower than 55 miles an hour,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's Sandra Bullock's, like, big breakout role. Shoo, what is wrong with you?
I'm sorry.
Yes.
And on that note, we get off our soapbox and move.
Okay, yes. Chinese and Hawaiian background. So I was right in both parts. Yay!
Okay. Yay!
How have you not seen Speed?
I don't know how
have
I
you
haven't seen
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure? Oh my
the
God.
The only thing I know from that movie is that we should all be excellent to each
We're
other.
We're watching that tonight.
We're watching Bill and Ted's?
Yes.
Okay.
I have it on DVD.
Okay.
Unless if it's not on... I'm sorry, everyone, but this is... Oh my God, you were such a baby.
Hey. And moving on before I get chewed out more for films I haven't seen.
Hey, I always get chewed out for things I haven't seen, so it's only fair.
I know, but I'm at the control board, so.
I am not a committee!
That was
Cammy's
me!
Concerns.
You just cut me off as Leia being sassy.
Oh, that worked so well. So, yeah, the Clone Wars bonus content, that is what's on the docket for Cammy's concerns today.
Yes. Clone Wars bonus content. 13 episodes.
13 episodes of bonus content. Long awaited.
Some of which was good and some of which was not so good.
Yeah. We probably don't even need to split these up for you.
No.
You probably know exactly where we fall on these episodes. Maybe the best thing, though, is that we no longer have to field questions on the blog about when the Clone Wars bonus content
yes.
coming. Thank you, Dave Filoni, Disney, Lucasfilm, for putting it out there, so
yes.
we no longer have to answer that question. Now, if you can put out a definitive statement saying Karen Travis is not ever, ever, ever coming back, we'd also appreciate that.
So, there's Clone Wars bonus content. It's... known as season 6, although that's kind of a misnomer, because I think even though they said numerous times that they're not going to explain any of the plot threads that were left dangling at the end of season 5, people still thought it would answer questions like what happened to Darth Maul, what happened to Ahsoka, and it didn't, because these were all episodes that were already in production prior to season 5 ending. So, if you haven't watched season 6 yet...
Tune out now!
Yes, tune out now. Also, be aware that you're not going to find out what happened to Ahsoka or Darth Maul or anything like that. So, there were 4 distinct arcs. The first arc was a 4-parter. We'll call it the Order 66 or Clone Arc. The episode titles were The Unknown, Conspiracy, Fugitive, and Orders. And I liked these episodes. I thought they were really... Well, I hear that noise too. I think it's coming from outside the house.
There's like a lawnmower or something outside the house, and I thought I was getting feedback in one of the mic lines.
These episodes, I like them a lot. Dee Bradley Baker did an amazing job portraying the clones. there's Fives, who was kind of one of the lead character of this arc. Also Tup, who was the clone that kind of haywired and then later met his demise. And a bunch of the other clones were, you know, they saw them and came in this episode. But it was really interesting and kind of delved into what Order 66 actually was, who knew about it, what it was supposed to do versus what it actually did, and kind of, it would be kind of interesting.
See, I like the set of episodes because it was just further proof in that Palpatine is more awesome than you.
Yep, he's got everything planned.
He's got everything planned. He is the chess master.
Yes, and it seemed like the Kaminoans knew about this, but didn't know what the end game was. That it was to control the clones and control their aggression and all of that, but not really understanding that they were going to kill Jedi. Although then I also have to wonder, was it the end game, or did Palpatine after this just go, ooh, that's a good idea? I think so.
I can't picture him not having it planned that out that far. And this one really makes me side-eye the Jedi hard.
Yeah.
Because they just discover these controlling chips, and they just take it in stride.
Yeah, I would question that.
So, you know, one of these days I'm going to write a blog post called Palpatine Was Right.
Palpatine Was Right?
Palpatine Was Right.
Okay.
I mean, not necessarily to genocide the Jedi Order, but, you know, maybe just imprisoning all of them. Because, you know, throughout the run of the Clone Wars, we see that the Jedi are not as... They don't have quite the moral high ground we thought they did.
Nope. They're kind of a bunch of jerks.
They are kind of a bunch of jerks. Another post we're going to write, it was all Mace Windu's fault.
Yes. King jerk. Master jerk.
And moving on to the arc, when we saw it initially announced, we all thought, people wanted that?
Well, I think this is one of the other things that was, I mean, it was just in production. And I remember seeing a clip at Star Wars Weekends, like, several years ago. So, yeah, they had this a long, long time ago. And it finally came out, and this was the, call it the Rush Clovis arc, which is the episodes An Old Friend, The Rise of Clovis, and Crisis at the Heart. Basically surrounding Palpatine or Padme's old colleague Clovis, him being manipulated by Dooku and becoming head of the Intergalactic Banking Clan, and then he also meets his untimely demise. And yeah, these episodes were really boring.
You know, I thought these three episodes were going to bother me because of Clovis being there. No, that was the least of my
issues. Well, I thought, okay, at least we'll get Anakin and Padme interacting. And, like, the one thing I said I wanted to see in Clone Wars that we never saw happen, well, and when I say see happen, I realize we're not actually going to see it happen, but imply for the adults in the audience who can figure out what's happening is that this is the conception of the twins. Because as it is in the movie, Anakin's been away for a while. Because he doesn't know Padme's pregnant until he comes home. And she's heavily pregnant. So he has to have been away for some time in the Outer Rim sieges. So it's kind of makes me wonder, you know, like I would have liked to see that in Clone Wars. Or, you know. But anyway, so I'm like, oh, maybe this'll have some of that. But nope.
Instead, we just got Padme and Anakin, the worst couple ever.
They're being like teenagers. Like, Anakin was being such a jealous, possessive twit. And Padme, stupid Padme, goes to the freaking opera with the dude. And now, I'm not saying she can't go do things with male friends because her secret husband is jealous. However, I'm saying that you probably shouldn't go to the opera with your colleagues when you're not supposed to be working together. Like, I don't think it was kind of like publicized that they were working together. And then they're working together in her apartment and drinking. And I'm like, what the hell, Padme? What are you doing? Like, and this was their ex. Like, even if I was single, I wouldn't be going to the opera and hanging out in my apartment with my ex who I'm supposed to be working with. That's just dumb. And for a dude, too. Not just because it's her.
I think we came to the conclusion at the end of this arc, if Padme had dumped Anakin's sorry rear end, this whole galactic conflict could have been avoided.
Like, I was really glad she wasn't putting up with this crap. But then, of course, it turned out that, oh, he was right, and which is just kind of negates that whole thing. And also, like, her saying to him, I don't think we should see each other anymore, made me laugh so hard because I'm like, Padme?
When you're married, that's called divorce.
Yes! You can't just say, I don't want to see you anymore. That's called breaking up. When you're married, yeah. I mean, maybe they're not legally married because I don't know how that works in the galaxy far, far away. Maybe they only had their secret marriage on Naboo that's not really more spiritual.
So secret marriages were only recognized on Naboo.
Or maybe it's just a spiritual thing and not legal. I don't know how that works in the galaxy far, far away. Nobody's told me.
The only knowledge we really have of weddings in Star Wars comes from Union.
I want that bonus content.
Right.
So yeah, these episodes were kind of boring. Not much of a fan.
Yeah, I mean,
and also, Mune, I say Mun. Mune sounds terrible.
I mean, this arc, it was Anakin and Padme being horrible people, mm-hmm. Clovis being around, all wrapped up in the excitement of interest rates.
Yeah.
But that brings us to the next arc, in which I say, my eyes! My eyes!
Jar Jar kissed a bird lady.
Why was I not warned? Because you all watched these episodes long before I did.
It was not good. Like, this episode didn't make sense. Jar Jar and Mace Windu were going on an adventure together. People were trying to steal Force Essence, which I don't know how that's possible. I wanted to go Kalima during some parts.
I mean, it did. These episodes did have a great love letter to the worst of the Indiana Jones films, Temple of Doom.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say about these episodes. Kind of filler, like the Clovis arc.
I mean, essentially, it was what was in the hopper.
Yeah.
When the rug got pulled out from under the Clone Wars.
Ahmed Best was good as Jar Jar.
He was great as Jar Jar.
And I really appreciated all of Mace Windu's bitch please expressions.
The animators got really good at that expression. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna give major props to them.
Yeah.
But it was an arc that had some amusing moments.
And it also had Jar Jar kissing some lady.
Yeah. They were kind of the bottle episodes of The Clone Wars.
The what episodes?
Bottle episodes. Okay, I'm going to TV tropes right now.
Oh no, dear. What have we done?
TV tropes. Bottle episode. TV tropes. Thank you, Google. And a bottle episode is designed to take up as little money as possible. The easiest way to go about this is to only use the regular cast or even just part of the regular cast and set it in sort of a central location.
But a lot of Clone Wars episodes had those because they didn't really have a main cast.
Yeah, but bottle episodes are kind of the throwaway episodes.
Yeah.
And these were kind of throwaway episodes. I mean, this arc wasn't terrible, but It will forever be remembered for Jar Jar making out with a bird lady.
I would much rather have had something about Ventress or Maul or Ahsoka.
Yeah. And we wrap things up with the Yoda arc. Now, I'm gonna get my one criticism of this arc out of the way first, because I really like this arc.
Yes.
I'm going to say that I am glad Troy Denning wrote Apocalypse and Crucible before this arc came out.
Me too.
Because I can only imagine what those books would have been had he gotten his hands on these episodes.
Yeah. So, this was the Yoda arc, and the... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. The Jar Jar episodes were the Disappeared, part one and two. But the Yoda episodes were The Lost One, Voices, Destiny, and Sacrifice. And it starts off with The Lost One, which is basically going into the whole Sifo-Dyas mystery and kind of confirming that Dooku and Sifo-Dyas were working together. Dooku was behind the whole thing. Palpatine was involved. It was kind of an interesting... It actually was kind of a hole that needed to be filled, and it was nice to kind of get some closure, or having the Jedi go, oh yeah, that guy? Let's think about that guy. Because he's the one who ordered the army, so shouldn't we know what happened to him? Because that's kind of important. And then the rest of the episodes basically follow Yoda on a quest, his vision quest. He's hearing voices in his head. He's hears Qui-Gon. No one believes him. So he breaks jail with Anakin's help, which is a
perfect,
hilarious
utterly
scene.
Perfect.
He's basically like, you break the rules all the time, so you're going to help me. And I was like, how do you understand this so much right now? And then you all just fail him miserably in Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah. The Force journey was interesting. Generally, I'm much more of a leave the Force as it was described in A New Hope.
Yes, and Empire.
The
whole part where Qui-Gon's going on and on about the cosmic force versus the living force and how he explaining how he can appear, I could have done all without that. I liked hearing Liam Neeson again, but I would have just liked to keep it to him saying you have to go to Dagobah, you have to go to this planet, and not trying to explain everything, because that just got boring and talky and is not what I think about the force. I think about the force as, you know, Yoda's speech in Empire Strikes Back. But the rest of it, I actually kind of liked, because I liked that it was, you know, it was kind of mystical, it was really out there, but it didn't seem as out there as the Mortis episodes. Because I think the reason why is because it was just Yoda involved, whereas the other episodes had three people, so it was a lot harder to hand wave things that were all in the head. This episode could very much have been everything in Yoda's head. And as Dumbledore told us, just because something is in your head doesn't mean it's not real. And I thought I was not going to like that Yoda basically sees a lot of things that happen in Revenge of the Sith, but...
We were talking about this after we finished watching the episodes, and I think for us it comes down to, okay, how much time is between this arc and Revenge of the Sith?
And it has to be longer because Anakin's on Coruscant. So if you go by Revenge of the Sith and him and Padme haven't seen each other for a long time, she's a lot more pregnant. He didn't know she was pregnant, so obviously it was several months because she couldn't have been showing.
Yeah.
Last time he saw her.
I think several months is fine because, well, here's essentially what you and I were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yoda sees all of this happening in this vision that the Jedi Order is screwed. So initially we were thinking, okay, well, why doesn't he try to do something about this?
Mm-hmm.
Then we came to the conclusion there's not enough time. Because the path has already been set. The Jedi Order is screwed regardless of what Yoda does at this point.
Yes.
So what Yoda can do now is start putting the pieces in place to save a flame of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And that's why he sets Obi-Wan apart.
Yeah.
And tabs him for whatever spiritual quest he goes on in order to speak with Qui-Gon and become a Force ghost himself.
Mm-hmm. It's basically going from, like, he knows there's no way they can win the war, so basically they're now on damage control.
Yeah, Yoda's on damage control. If he can save more of the Order, great, but he knows what his priority is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In a way, it's the dark side of being a chess master.
Yeah.
When the war is lost, he's got to figure out how to regroup for another battle. And unfortunately, the only way was this vision essentially tells him, you're done with the battles for a while. You have lost this war, but there is another war to be fought.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. It reconciled some stuff in my head.
Yeah.
But I'm with you that the Force mysticism stuff was a little too telly for me. But we haven't even talked about the best part of this arc yet.
Which 30 part was that?
Glorious seconds of Mark Hamill as and. When you told me this, you sent me a text message.
Uh-huh.
Because
I think it was on G-Chat.
Yeah, I was okay for spoilers on this one.
Yeah.
You told me that he was voicing Darth Bane.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought you were pulling my leg.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably thought that of the person who told you
yes.
who he was playing.
Yes.
Darth Bane. Listeners, run this through your head slowly. Mark Hamill is Darth Bane. Is that not the most awesome thing ever?
It is.
I tweeted a picture of your reaction as he showed up on screen. It was priceless.
Mm-hmm.
So you enjoyed that, didn't you?
Yes, I may have been chin-handsing the whole time.
So that wrapped up. That really wraps up the Clone Wars bonus content. I think for me, I still treat this what they originally called it. It was bonus content. The series finale for me is still the end of season 5.
Yes.
I think it's an incredibly functional finale.
Mm-hmm.
That offers up more finality than these bonus episodes do.
Yeah.
There were decent episodes. They were fun. There were some good moments in there. I mean, I could have done without the Clovis arc, but I enjoyed sitting down and watching Clone Wars for the last time. And now we look ahead to Rebels. It's not that far off on the horizon, so get excited for that. Rebels is coming. We'll get some new Star Wars soon.
Yep.
And on that note, we're going to wrap up the show.
Yay!
Hooray! This episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles at Tashi_Station. You can find Nancy with at Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with at Lane Winry, LaneWinRe. On Facebook, we're the Tashi Station Network. We're available in the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. Thank you for catching another episode, and we'll see you again next time.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.